Yeah, when he was up there talking, I was like, bro, just tell the truth, man. When a woman confronts you about stuff like that, they already know the truth. You just need to tell
them. James. When a woman confronts you about stuff like that, you got to hit her with a baby please at least once, twice. See what you can get away with. See what you can get out of. And then go tell the truth. Now the
Welcome again to Charger to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin. And is this my camera? Say Drake. I'm joined by my co-host, Gingy, my love, and TJ. I hear you like them age appropriate.
Indeed, indeed. No, when you said I hear you like them, boy, I would have logged out if you would have said something different. I would have logged right on out.
No, you ain't gonna sue me, friend.
You ain't getting no suing from me.
This week, we are discussing Game of Thrones Season 4, Episode 8, The Mountain and the Viper, an air date of January 1st, 2014, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, directed by Alex Graves, and had a rating of 7.17 million. So, despite two Sundays in between these episodes, in between 7 and 8, there were two Sundays with no episode.
Why? Why?
I don't remember why. I specifically remembered it was the last time it was because of the Behind the Candelabra, but I don't remember why this time. But
was it a writer's strike or something?
No! I think they were airing some kind of, like, mini-series thing.
Okay. I'm trying to, like, that mini-series that had that chick with the red hair that was in The Office. The one who played Jim's girlfriend early seasons of The Office.
No, this wasn't Sharp at. No, this was Projects. No.
Because I was trying to think of when that came out. That's the only like miniseries I can.
Not that. It's not that. But they maintain most of their audience. But you would think it would have grown. Because like people had two extra weeks to catch up. So here we are at episode 8.
What do you think, James?
It was okay.
I'm gonna start answering for him. Like I'm gonna ask myself. Like I'm gonna be like, James, what are you thinking? I'm gonna be like, it was okay. This is every time, never fails. This man is consistent.
Okay, well, before we get started, we do have our put it on the board segment.
You can put it on the board. Yes.
Because Moat Cailin is on the board, and this is the first time I have ever noticed that they put Moat Cailin on the board.
I've never noticed that. You're breaking news to me today.
I was so shocked. But yes, Moat Cailin is on the board. Would like to remind everybody that Winterfell has been on the board all season and we haven't even been there. So, who's ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, well, we can start at Molestown. Not your average panty raid, huh? Yikes.
Well, I didn't think this was a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said.
Like, every time we go back there, like, this is what we say. Why did he think this is a good idea?
And why are The Bear and the Maiden Fair and Reigns of Castamere the only two songs that anyone... Oh,
it's a callback.
Those are the only songs anyone knows.
It's a callback to season 3 the musical.
Things are going super great for Gilly. She's doing laundry, but at least she doesn't have to deal with Craster, just some awful ladies and then some wildlings. That's neat.
Those are her own people, so it'd be all right.
I mean, one of them did spare her.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she spared her after she went playing around on everybody else.
I mean, she's a killer.
At least she has a soft spot for a baby.
Do you think it was the baby?
It's indeed the baby. Okay. That's the only thing it could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll give her that.
What else would it be? Like, it's not just Gilly. Like, she don't see Gilly's face and be like, oh, you know what? Spare her.
Maybe she thought that maybe she sensed that Gilly was of her kind.
We don't think the rest of the women in there were her kind?
Wildlings? No.
Yeah. Oh,
the
no.
woman was just giving Gilly shit for being a wildling.
They all look like.
Wow.
They not like us.
Anyways, everybody at Molestown is dead. Because the
Which
wild
means they get
are on their way.
They is super close now, like super, super close.
Super incredibly close. And poor Sam should have listened to you, Ginge. Drug her and put her on a boat.
Yup.
It might be the wisest words anybody said on this podcast.
Yep.
At this point, like,
it show is.
We keep going back to it. That really might have been the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps biting people in the ass that they don't. So perhaps you may.
When in doubt. Yeah, when in doubt.
Drug her and put her on a boat.
Drug her and put her out. Yeah, make it rhyme.
Anyway, if they hit Molestown, we're next. And there's only 102 of us here. So those are some good odds.
They scared, scared.
Yo, imagine like knowing that there's only 102 of them motherfuckers.
And most of them can't fight.
Yeah. Boy.
And you know there's 100,000 wildlings coming.
If it were me, I'd be willing to take my chances like the deserter in episode one.
We'll get back to the deserter.
Ned ain't alive no more. Who's swinging the sword at this point? Like, I'm going to take my chances.
All right, so Ginge, it's 102 of them and 100,000 men on the way. Men and women, wildlings.
And giants.
What? And exact. Oh, buddy, just wait. What? What's the plan?
They better reinforce them doors that the builder says, oh, they're good.
Okay.
And then
do they have time?
Hopefully,
at this point?
Well, I'm saying like hopefully they can reinforce that so the builders can do that. And then hopefully the wildlings that are already on this side of the wall will get there before man shows up, and then they can just defend against those while the builders are trying to reinforce the hole so that they only had to take care of little bits at a time until they break through the wall or go over the wall.
Okay.
Hopefully they have the time for all that.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully this is one of those moments where HBO and Game of Thrones can't tell time.
Yup.
This sounds like an hours-long building project. Yeah.
We see years worth of building happening in one episode. Because they only have 102 men, and I bet you like four of those people are builders. So,
guess we'll find out, because the wildlings are on the way. Fucking yikes.
Hopefully we find out before the season ends.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, Gendry's still row in that boat.
Do we even see him again before the series ends?
Do we?
He might still be rowing.
Y'all don't leave that a dead end.
That man might still be rowing. Feel bad for Sam. He thinks Gilly's dead.
But Gilly's a survivor. Don't worry.
Yeah, she survived the White Walker.
Put her on a boat.
And where does she go now? Like, she survived this, so now what does she do? She go back to Castle Black? Does she wander further into the north?
Yeah, I think she's going to wander further north. Or, I guess, further south?
Yeah.
Well, here's my question for you, James. Does she somehow, some way, beat the Wildlings back to Castle Black. Like, is that a possibility?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. Wash Day and Marine. Huzzah.
Do we think Grey Worm got a phantom boner here?
Yes. So the, it's like when the amputees, you know, they got that phantom pain or whatever.
The phantom itch.
Yeah, he got it.
I wonder what that feels like now that we talk. Now we talking about it. Could you imagine like getting your, like losing your arm and then be like, yo, my shoulder fucking or my elbow itches and you ain't got no elbow there to scratch?
Yeah, I don't want to know what that feels like.
Me either.
If I'm honest.
Yeah, me either. Because you know when you're like a kid and you like get a scab and you're like wanting to scratch it so bad because it itches?
Yeah.
Imagine just sitting there and you ain't even got the option.
Or like having your arm in a cast.
The one time I had a cast, I was able to take the shit off, so.
Yeah, but like, so you've never had like a real wrapped up cast, like the kids sign and stuff. Like, because it's always gross when it gets, like, my brother broke his arm once.
Yeah.
Okay.
My arm would itch, and he could not get to it. Oh, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, my sister's broken her leg twice and her arm twice, I think. And, yeah, she couldn't. We had to get, like, this skinny metal, like, pole thing, like a hanger, like a wire hanger, unravel it, and then try to shove it in there to get the itch. And then when he took it off, oh, my gosh.
It's so
the smell is so bad.
I was like, you just say, when they took it all off, you should have saw how many stabs she had in her fucking arm for us stabbing a wire hanger in there.
Man, the smell is so bad.
She needs stitches.
Oh, man. It's gross. It also looks gross, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, my experience was different. Like, I was a grown man. I had a hard cast, but they like cut it and put straps on it to where I can put it, take it on and off.
Okay.
So.
Oh, so you got babied and coddled. Yeah.
I told him I had video games played. So.
I love it. I love it. Anyways, Missandei and Grey Worm, so adorable. Grey Worm knows like 8 words of the common tongue, and yet he's figured out how to describe how he feels about his interactions with Missandei. So, ladies, if he wanted to, he fucking would. All right.
Nope.
So, if he's not saying it, dump him.
Mm-hmm.
There we are. That's what I get from this scene. I have no other commentary. I just love them so much.
You're not wrong.
Like, I love Grey Worm and Missandei. It's like the one real, like, romantic interaction that we get that's like genuine and pure, and like there's no weird power structure. And also, they're both very attractive, melanated people. Happy Black History Month.
I love that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the best part.
Now, James, do you think we get like a real moment between them two?
I'm going to say no.
No?
I'm going to say nope.
I mean, he was interested, for sure.
Yeah, but the way the show's going, something's going to interrupt it from happening.
Oh, I understand. Okay. I understand why you would feel that apprehension there. Because this does seem like something sweet and pure, and obviously it has to be ruined.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And the way the writers like fuck shit up sometimes, like they might have a full blown sex scene, but a man with no penis.
Listen, there are other ways to manage people. I mean,
oh yeah, but I'm saying like
bars in hell. Next, this week, the role of Theon Greyjoy will be played by Reek.
He did a wonderful job.
he stayed in character the whole entire time.
He really did. Like, you could tell he was like reading off this script that Ramsay got him, because like when you think back to the way Theon Greyjoy used to speak, what is dead may never die, and all this, like he's reading a script. He sounds slightly better than TJ reading a script. His eyes are shuffling and he's terrified. He's a little panic attack in the middle of it. Poor thing.
Yeah, I don't know why during Black History Month, James, this light skin wants to throw strays at me. Like, what the fuck is going on here? This light skin wants to throw strays at me.
I'm not light skinned.
When the first time I met her, I thought she was mixed, and she wants to throw strays at me. What the fuck is going on here?
This man is lying to the listening audience.
Hell no. Here I was thinking she had a white mama this whole time, and she's throwing me strays during Black History Month.
Yeah, wait a minute now. Now, I've never engaged in white mom behavior a day in my life, so let's back that up. Wait just a second, sir. I'm also not light-skinned. Very rude. Very rude.
To the listening audience, she's quite light. As they say, high yellow.
No. Now, don't call me high yellow, because I got a house, like, I got a family full of high yellow Negroes, okay? High yellow niggas. Brother.
Like, and y'all look the same. Sorry.
No, because if my brother didn't work in the sun, he would be the same color as my, he would be the same complexion as my kids. Like, they are of the highest of yellows. I am like a light brown.
Perhaps B-word on light.
Brown.
You're like a caramel.
Nah, I'm like caramel. Perfect paper bag brown. Wrong. Caramel color.
Okay, and that's the point, friend. The point is, you and I are both passing that paper bag test.
I'm like, you look at Michael Jordan, you see me.
Nah,
pretty much.
Man. you're like a coffee bean.
Coffee bean hell.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that. James has proved my point. Nah, dark roast.
Nah, baby.
Smooth and bold. Dark roast.
Ain't no caramel though.
Anyway, back to Theon. Yo, here's my question here. Like, how does nobody know like that Theon's like a prisoner or trapped somewhere or fucked up in the head to where they're like, oh my god, it's Theon. Yeah, maybe he is like legit here.
They're all sick and everybody wants to go home.
Yeah, but how does like a raven not get to them when he gets captured, saying like Theon's captured?
Well, like his father didn't really care. Like he was like, but, oh, my son's dead. They took his penis.
You would think that she would like.
No, because as soon as he got that, she just gathered those how many ever people and hit the boat.
But we don't think
remember
she like.
And remember, she was on a boat for an entire season.
Yeah, basically.
Like
either a day or a month, we'll never know.
It was a while. She's been on that boat, and then once she got there, she realized he was dead.
Yeah. So I don't think anybody even thought he was still alive anyways.
But don't worry, because we're going to stand on business and defend this ruin. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Can we go home?
Yeah, what happens to Theon if that doesn't happen? Like, that dude probably would have killed him.
Yeah, I think he would have died right there.
Well, unfortunately for the guy who did do the killing, he ended up flayed. So that was a neat transition.
Yo, that was great makeup. Whoever the makeup artist for this episode, great. That was disgusting.
I enjoyed the transition, too.
That was a good transition. Like, we can go home? Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as he said that, I was like, hey, not going home. And then there it goes.
There he is.
And Ramsay will let you know, too. Like, listen, you didn't really think. You didn't actually. Come on. Come on. But anyways, yeah, Theon is Reek. Theon is fully Reek. He is no longer Theon Greyjoy. Now they have a new home to go to. After Ramsay's legitimized. You're officially my son. You're no longer a bastard. So now that Ramsay has some actual legal power, how much more dangerous do you think he's going to get?
A lot. He gonna abuse it.
So do you think he'll be a danger to his father? Like Menendez brother style?
No, I don't think so. I think his father giving him his name, like he looked really like happy that he got that.
See, I was gonna try to spin it the other way because, like, he looks happy he got that, but like we've seen Ramsay, like, he's kind of power hungry here. And I was gonna ask you, like, does he stop if he were to go sideways? Does he stop with his father, or does he just keep going until he gets the fucking Iron Throne?
No, I don't think he'll kill his father.
Okay. Well,
oh no, somebody might whisper King in the North and it might go to his head.
That's true. The man is a psychopath. Like,
never know.
Like Ted Bundy.
And speaking of the King of the North, they are headed to their new home. Huh? Headed to Winterfell, which was, again, on the map, was on the board all season. And we get this one little glimpse of it.
Yep.
Still very important castle. So now
he's seen it so long, almost didn't recognize it.
Right? So now the war.
Who cleaned it up?
It's not cleaned up.
Well, who's going to clean it up? Like, why would they even want to go back there?
You have to read. That's the seat of the North. That is the seat of the North.
It was. You can change everything if you want.
But the warden of the North is now like in the seat of the North in what would, I guess, technically be the capital, Winterfell. So like he's got his power. Now what? Like Roose Bolton just rules the North, the end.
I feel like Roose. Actually, that Roose doesn't seem like a very ambitious guy.
I was gonna say, does he want it?
Like, he did what he did to Rob and them because he got paid for it.
Correct. Like, does he really want this though? You think he really wants this?
Sure, I think he'd like to be Warden of the North.
I don't know. He seems like a guy that is okay with no responsibility and just like all the praise.
Yeah, I don't see him being ambitious.
Okay.
Not like Baelish or.
So like not ambitious enough to reach further than this.
Right. Like I think he'd be happy just chilling as Warden of the North.
Okay, so as Warden of the North, the wildlings coming south, do you think that he would show any concern for that?
Sure, because the wildlings are just going to run through everybody like water on rocks. So they're going to be in the way. The North, his people are going to be out of the way of the wildlings. So he's going to have to fight them either way. Just out of necessity.
And now geography-wise, do you think that is Winterfell more south or more north than where they were? Because if I got to go further north, why the fuck would I want to go to Winterfell?
No, I feel what's coming. I feel like Winterfell would be. Are you talking about is Winterfell more north than where the Wildlings are now?
No, where Roose,
or where Roose was.
Where Roose was.
I feel like Winterfell is more north than where Roose was.
I honestly don't know the answer. I'm just like.
Oh, it's like further. Which way is this? West.
Okay, so it's kind of parallel, not really like moving forward.
I mean, it's all the north.
Yeah. But if I was getting like closer to the wall, knowing what's coming, Wildlings winter, like why the fuck would I even want to go?
But he doesn't know what's coming though, does he? They don't know the Wildlings are coming.
Yeah, they don't know about the Wildlings. They just know about winter's coming.
I guess we'll see how he handles it, because those wildlings are on the way. As
and that's have. Another issue. Why does he not know that the fucking wildlings are coming? What the fuck?
Well, remember.
I feel like Ned had a pulse on what was going on at the wall.
You're probably right about that.
So, like, how does Roose not have a pulse on what's going on at the wall?
Because Roose is not Ned. Like, Ned took that shit seriously. Ned also is, like, a Stark, and they've held it for so long. And it's just duty and honor that
this is, look, this is what happens when you promote bad managers. Shit like this happens. When we elect bad presidents. Shit like this happens.
Well, I wasn't going to say it.
Nobody knows what president I'm talking about. I could be talking about 45 or 47. Nobody fucking knows. It's one of those two, but nobody knows which one I'm talking about. Oh man, give me a fucking gold star today.
Oh man.
I brought my A game.
your little A chain.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that's PG Lang, people. It's not A minor, I promise. It's PG Lang.
I don't care what it was. I was entertained. The Veil, or How to Get Away with Murder.
He trying.
Little fingers under a little Inquisition. The Lords of the Veil don't seem to like him very much. This up jumped great grandson of a foreigner.
He's just got like a punchable face. Like, he's just one of those people, like, no matter where he goes, like, he's not gonna be liked.
Yeah. But look at what he's managed to, like, look at what he's managed to do in just three generations.
Oh, Lord, I ain't doubting the skills. The man is very, very skilled.
But at what? Lying? Manipulator?
A master manipulator.
Professional groomer. Trying to strike a chord.
Yep.
Anyways. Lord Royce obviously has all his tea. Accuses him of being a bootlicker. He's not wrong. And then they decide to bring in Sansa because nobody believes that Lyza Arryn threw herself through the moon door.
And then was Royce like, is he like an alcoholic or forgetful?
Why are we saying that?
Because why does he know who Sansa is?
She just told you. He came. She was like, you met me when you were.
Correct. He met her. Why do you not remember this girl?
Because it's been years.
This motherfucker got the reddest hair that we've ever seen in the history of Westeros. And you mean to tell me? And you mean to tell me you don't remember this motherfucker?
I don't remember her face. I don't remember her face. Also, little tidbit. So in the pilot episode, the ranger who was killed was Lord Royce's son, Waymar.
Oh,
Royce.
Okay.
That is, yes. So, just a little tidbit for you guys.
Oh, you know what? I give him a pass now. He was grieving.
Maybe.
If he cared. I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, all these lords look down on Littlefinger, so obviously Highborn Sansa has to come in and tell the truth, and she tells enough of the truth that when she starts to lie, it's pretty believable.
She's learning.
She is
learning. I mean, tears are always going to help you get out of something.
Oh yeah,
especially when you're you know a girl. Obviously I cry about everything. I get out of a lot of stuff.
Can I try? Does it work for men?
You can give it a go.
Good luck. Society doesn't care about men's feelings, James.
Well, I mean, men don't care about men's feelings. Y'all decided that.
Also
You're
true.
Right. You are right. You are
Anyway,
exactly right.
Sansa said shed some tears for her fake uncle, and now she's off the hook. And they give each other this little look like, oh my God, look at you. You're growing. And that's it. She's been sufficiently groomed. He's done it.
Yeah, he did get scared for a moment.
He was
yeah, he did.
Like he got a little nervous, but she turned around and it was like,
she's like, I gotta tell the truth.
Gotta tell the truth, because I ain't no
I can't
lie.
Lie.
Yeah.
The man started sweating.
He's very proud of her though. Very proud. Also, that peck on the cheek. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, she's a child. And here we are. Speaking of children, the Lord of the Vale is a child, and now he should probably go tour the Vale. We got to get him out of here. He's got to see the
he's
world.
He's just setting him up to kill him.
Look, predictions.
There
this
it is.
Is what, look, I wanted to know what your prediction was. I was going to ask, like, does this kid go off? Does this kid go off the fucking boot camp and get some ROTC training and come back a damn killer?
Nope. Nope. He getting set up to die.
So you think Littlefinger's gonna have him like gonna somehow? What do you think is gonna like? He fell from his horse.
No, I don't think he's gonna do that.
And do you think we'll see him again, or do you think this is gonna be like a written off storyline? Like we're just gonna write his ass
no,
off?
No. We're gonna see him again because we're gonna see him die.
Or Robin Aaron, he's just gonna kill a child. Well, I mean, yep. Probably.
I mean, it's kind of his MO at this point.
Yeah.
Anybody with the last name Aaron, watch out.
Family and birds. Anyway, Marine. Jorah, the jig is up. Busted. Got him red-handed. Uh-oh.
The amount of honor that Barristan has, though, to look this man in his face and tell him, like, I respect it.
Yeah.
No, at first, I was like, oh, when, you know, because it went to Barristan, I was like, oh, Tywin's going to try to get Barristan back, try to convince him to come back to King's Landing. And then when he showed up at Jorah, and I was like, oh, the angle is on Jorah.
And how did you feel?
Oh, all I gotta say is, TJ, you better have him in the on the poor mouth section. I know he ain't dead, but he did.
Yo, his feelings are God.
He
damn.
Emotionally did.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know, cause when he rode off on that horse, his head was held high. We'll get to it.
Oh.
But yeah, he has to go stand in front of Dany and tell her what he's done. And he tried that Khaleesi bullshit. The baby, please don't fucking baby me.
Yeah, when he was up there talking, I was like, bro, just tell the truth, man. When a woman confronts you about stuff like that, they already know the truth. You just need to tell them.
James, when a woman confronts you about stuff like that, you got to hit her with a baby, please, at least once or twice. See what you can get away with. See what you can get out of. And then go tell the truth. Now the oh man, but not is she being a little too harsh here?
No.
Two questions, because I see both sides. Is she being too harsh, or is she being too lenient here? Because she blames him for the fucking wine merchant. Like, bitch, I could let you die. Like, come on now.
Exactly. That's why she's being exactly the
but
diplomatic she needs.
Why didn't she have him killed? If this
because
is a man you can't trust, why not just fucking kill him?
Because he did save her. I always,
like, you think she gives a fuck about that at this point?
No, but the thing is like, you saved me then. I owe you that at least. And now we are even. So if
yeah.
I see you again, I'm going to kill you. Like, you saved me and I gave you that, but I don't trust you. You cannot be here and I don't want to see you again. That's what it is.
I like that answer.
I'll accept it.
Okay. Thank you.
I like that answer.
I'll accept it.
Also, Jorah is very Severus Snape coded, because like you were totally okay with them unaliving my baby, like me and my baby. But whatever, Severus Snape is not a hero. Anyway, anything else?
Nah.
And then we already did Ramsay's thing. So.
Oh, before we go, Roos does ask about Locke. Motherfuckers ain't seen him.
Who cares?
Where's he at?
He did say that when he was updated, like, oh, whatever. like he much. Didn't. He was like, have we heard from Locke? No.
Nah.
Okay, whatever. It's just a little crippled boy out there. Who cares?
Right? What's he going to do? So, back to the veil. Littlefinger's ready to go on a trip. Turns out, Ari and the Hound did make it. Touch too late.
Once again, this close.
Yeah, this I got close. So excited. I was like, oh, we about to get a reunion? Nah.
And Arya's reaction
was great.
Every time. Because, like, the Hound is standing, like, and you can see it in the Hound's face when he's like, what the fuck? Like, the way his face changes, and she just stands there, and then she just, like, bursts out laughing. Because now what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, I felt bad for her, because, like, she's laughing because it's literally what emotion she has left.
Yeah.
Like what can you do at this point?
I guess
you've been that close that many fucking times.
I guess you're just my dad now. Can you build a house? Trees everywhere.
Sheesh.
Yeah, so what does happen to Arya now? Like, there's nobody else to sell her to. What does the Hound do? Does he just like, I guess I've got a daughter.
Why didn't she mention to him about going to Braavos?
Braavos. Braavos.
So do you think
so maybe he'll just go?
They'll go to Braavos together.
Yeah. He's got nothing here.
He doesn't seem like the Braavos type.
Yeah, but he's got nothing in King's Landing. And then he's got a bounty on his head, so what's the point of staying?
That's a good point.
It's a little too cultured for him. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that, you know, the two of them in Braavos, that's a good, you know, that's a good conclusion to draw, that that's where they're headed next. Because, like, what else is there? She doesn't have any more family.
I mean, I guess she could go to the wall. Because she doesn't, she knows John's up there, but John ain't going to give him no money to.
Right,
to
exactly.
Ransom him off, so yeah. The Hound's gonna be like, I ain't taking you to the wall.
Do you think there's like do you think he's just gonna like abandon her?
No, I think he's grown attached to her.
Okay. Agreed.
Okay, well, who knows what they're gonna do. Anyway, Robin Aaron also is on his way out, and Sansa comes down with a bad dye job. I
feel
dye job.
Yeah, her hair terrible, but that dress, whew, she looked good in black.
The feathers.
But it was a nice fucking dress.
Yeah, she's got on feathers. She's the little bird now.
Yeah, but that hair was terrible.
Oh man, it just gets worse because after the bad dye job is a bad wig. And anyway, anything else for the veil?
Why didn't anybody tell Arya that, like, oh, we got another Stark here? Y'all related?
They don't know. Only those three lords know that she's Sansa.
Yo, the communication here is piss poor.
Because it's supposed
to. I just tell y'all, this is piss
poor.
Not
everybody has a cell phone, okay?
This is piss poor communication. Call them on a walkie talkie.
They all don't have Twitter where they could just scroll through and see what's happening in the entire world.
They don't, but some parts of this fucking country, news gets out like this.
Also true.
And then other parts, like, my God, man.
Well, to be fair, this is also supposed to be a secret. She only told those three lords, and they said, we'll keep your secret. So these people are just good at minding their business.
What's really crazy is Robin keeping his mouth shut.
About knowing that it's Sansa?
Yeah.
That is nuts, because that boy is unhinged.
Yeah.
Robin Aaron. I love Robin Aaron. Anything
else? Nah, if he survives whatever is about to happen to him, he gonna be Ramsay 2.0.
Nah, man, I can't wait till we get to the end of this and Robin Aaron sitting on the throne and just see your reaction.
That's what happens when you breastfeed children into adolescence.
They end up the king sitting on the throne of season 8. That's what happens. That's how this shit ends.
No wonder you don't like season 8.
Exactly. I want to rewrite it.
Anyway, speaking of the king and the Iron Throne and King's Landing, it's almost time for that trial by combat. Oh boy. Almost. Let me just get this last drink of wine in. This last kiki with my brother.
Yo, you know what? This moment, like, I thought about my grandfather. Because like all he wanted was a beer in the hospital. I should have just smuggled him in a beer. I should have just did it.
Oh, that's so sweet. But yeah, he has his wine. They have their conversation. And then they start talking about their cousin and the beetle smashing.
Orson Lannister.
Yes, and on this watch, when Tyrion asks Jaime, like, why do you think he did it? Like, why? Is he talking about Orson or is he talking about Tywin? Like, is Tyrion the beetle who Tywin insists on continuing to just smash and hammer?
It's a good parallel. That's a good statement. I've never thought of it like that, but yeah. And maybe that's why Tyrion was so enamored by Orson. He wanted to just watch.
Yeah, because like Tyrion's been beat down all his life and like he was obsessed with figuring out why he was doing it. And so now like he's had all this time to reflect, like, why is he doing this to me right now? Like, what is the reason?
You know, you're on to something right there.
Thank you.
I think you get the gold star.
You.
No, you can't take my gold star with me and give it to a light skin.
Another a fellow. Let's be real. Anyways, matricide, patricide, nepeticide. These are all Latin words. I don't know where they would get these words from here in Westeros, but I'm not going to ask questions about the etymology of the common tongue because it's time for a trial by combat. That's what you're going to fight? Are you sure you want to do this, homeboy?
Right.
Boo.
Now, is this the first time we see these new banners that they have? Like these stag / lion banners that they're flying?
I think so.
Okay. I wrote that down. I was like, I don't think I've seen these yet.
But yes, the people, this crowd looks bigger than the tourney crowd. Yes. The original tourney crowd, but like these people are fully willing to be distracted by this spectacle. Cause like, who's the real problem here? Huh? They didn't watch the Kendrick performance. They didn't get it, went over their heads. I do have a question about the spear, TJ, because like they show his squire or whatever cleaning it, which James, you were right. You said like a spear, a double ended something. You were right about his weapon. So do you think he was polishing it or was he putting poison on it?
Poison.
Okay.
Yes. I never even thought about that.
Alrighty. Jenge, what about you?
Well, now that you say that, I am thinking about this now. Because he has to get a new one.
He does, but I mean, like, if you put...
So I'm assuming he's polishing them all, I guess, at some point. We just don't see.
Or he's putting poison on all of them.
No, I don't think so.
We should have... Never mind.
That's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I don't think he put poison on it.
Well, I mean, like, he's known for poisons. They said that.
Oh.
We should have probably held this question,
But it's just, you know,
but it's a good question.
it's the question. Because, I mean, like,
It would make sense because he knows how big the mountain is that he would be hard to take down. And if he has the poison on the blade that goes into his blood system when he cuts him, it'll help bring him down faster. So it does make sense.
but he steps into the ring and starts doing all that fancy bullshit.
As soon as he started dancing around, I knew he was done. That was it. All right, I knew.
Nah,
No,
nope. I'm
anybody in
not
the
gonna let you
history of
get that shit
fighting,
off.
anybody in the history
Nope.
of fighting, do any showing off bullcrap, dancing around the ring, they get knocked out.
I am not gonna let you get that shit off. Nope.
Nah,
Because he won that fight. So you can't be like, yo, but as soon as he walked up
he
in there, I
nah,
knew he was done. Like
nah,
that motherfucker won't
yeah.
done.
Nah, he was done.
Yo, that motherfucker put on a master class. Yeah,
He did.
listen.
But
I'm just gonna compare it to this. I get pissed off when I watch basketball. Like when I watch RJ Davis fucking dribble all over the goddamn court just to take a step back three and brick. And we fucking suck. I hate it. But it's the moment that Kyrie Irving does that shit, I'm fine with it. Or Steph Curry does that shit, I'm fine with it. They can do it.
No.
Auburn's one of them.
Nah. No.
Auburn is the Kyrie of this world. Like that motherfucker could dribble.
Oberyn walked in there like he was on the color guard on the marching band.
Yeah,
And that shit
exactly.
motherfucking worked.
Listen, I mean, Bron told us last episode what Oberyn's strategy would be. He was just gonna move around until the mountains just got so
Yeah,
fucking
until it gets
packed.
started.
But then what did he say? One wrong move and I'm done.
Correct. But Auburn won that fight fair and square. It's just
Did he?
you went a little too far, buddy. You should have just finished him off.
I mean, just he's down. Just go for the cover. One, two, three. Stop
Just
playing to the crowd. And Jinch, Oberyn's Jemima. Have you ever, Jinch, do you know who Gallagher is?
Gallagher.
The comedian who used to smash watermelons with a mallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only know who Gallagher is because of Spell Show. There was a Skittles Spell Show about
That's such a good.
it. It's the only reason why I know who Gallagher is.
But every time I see this, that's all I think about because this is brutal. So how did you like it?
It was cool. Like I said, the makeup artist in this episode is very nice.
As you pissing me off, man. Like, you pissing me off. You
What?
can't sit here and say, oh, the moment he was dancing around, I just knew it was over. And then,
I
oh, what'd you think
did.
about it? Oh, it was cool. Like, no, it was not cool to you,
It was
motherfucker.
cool, like him
Like,
getting his
what
eyes
the
squeezed and then his
fuck are
they
you doing? You're
smashing
talking
his
about the
head.
death. Okay, you're talking about the
Yeah,
death, not
the
the
death.
totality of the fight. Okay.
No,
I
no,
thought you
no,
thought
no,
about the
no.
totality of the fight because
No, no,
you're
no,
triggering
no,
me
no.
here. Like,
The fight was dumb. The him squeezing him squeezing his head, making his head explode was great.
don't sit here and tell me you hate Steph Curry and then be like, oh, he hit a three. I like that.
No, I didn't like the fight. You didn't like.
Oh, I love the fight.
No.
I love the fight. Man, Ober
And the
put on
thing
a fucking master class.
is like, you know, like in a game, like if there's a spear there, I like spears.
You do. You're always gonna use a spear.
But like, bro.
I think Oberyn put on a master class.
And
Like he fought the way.
he used the spear very well, but him trying to get that confession out of him, just, bro, just kill the man
That's
like you
what
wanted to
did him
do.
in. But he won the fight. That's what did him in.
Pride. Pride is gonna do it every time.
Yeah.
Like, because you know it, they know it. Just,
There's no need for him to have to fucking tell everybody
yeah.
he did it. Everybody knows he did it.
We already know.
And then he did tell us. Like, Oberyn got what he wanted.
Then they
He
both
did.
fell over. So now they've both fallen over. Is the mountain dead?
Yeah, who wins this?
That's why I asked the poison. Like, is the mountain dead? Did he poison the spear? Is the mountain dead? I mean, he took one through the chest. Through the chest.
Through the chest, true. But how far down into the chest did it go? Because he was wearing pretty thick armor, and he got up and squeezed the man's head
until it popped.
So, like, how far really?
That was just that last rush of adrenaline. That's all that was.
Before the
it's all yeah, love.
And more importantly than that, Tyrion's been sentenced to death. So what happens now?
Tyrion, you fucking appeal your shit because the mountain's dead too, man.
Appeal?
Yeah. I want a retrial. Like, it's a tie. You can't kill me on a tie.
I mean, I think we can definitively say that Oberyn died first.
Yeah, but see, that ain't in the rules, I don't think. They just said dead champion. Like, both of the motherfuckers dead.
Whoever dies first loses.
I'm appealing if I'm Tyrion. Take my chances.
Good luck. Good luck appealing that to your dad who put you here in the first place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, I was wondering that as the episode was ending. I was like, what's going to happen to Tyrion now? Because I don't think he's going to die.
Okay. So you think that he's somehow going to make it out of this?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. But I know he ain't going to die.
Through the process of appeals.
Trust the legal system.
Yes. It has never been unfair to anybody.
No.
Maybe Jamie's going to do something crazy.
Jamie? Okay.
Yeah. Because, like, and so during the fight, Jamie's face was like so full of hope seeing Oberyn like slashing the mountain. He's like, oh, Oberyn might actually win this. Like, you can see it in his face.
Not hope. Don't use those words. It was impressed. He was impressed.
It was also hope.
No, it was hope.
He was like, yo, this motherfucker is good.
And then when he died, you could just see his face. Like, he got devastated. He might have been more devastated than Tyrion.
Especially because he's agreed to go back to Casterly Rock already.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oberyn's woman was devastated. That scream.
Oh, my God. True.
Like, holy shit. That gets me every time.
I love that.
Like, that scream is like, holy shit. Like, it's real. Like, that shit felt so real. That scream.
I mean, you see somebody's head explode in front of you. Ooh. Anyways.
But back to Jamie, I like that thought process you have on Jamie doing something crazy. Because if there's one person with the clout to be able to do that, it's Jamie. Yeah. Like, that motherfucker has a long leash.
Yeah.
Because if he does something crazy, like, what are the repercussions for him? Like, what are you going to do, Tywin? Send me home? That's what you want anyway.
You're right. You're right. Jamie is the only person with, like, the room to even help him.
Yeah. Like, he has a long leash.
Privilege. But I guess we'll find out. Maybe next week. Because that's it. That was season 4, episode 8. La Montagne, A La Vie Prix. So.
See.
Anyone? That was French. But anyways.
Oui.
I said Viper wrong. It's Vipir. That's for anybody listening in French Canada. Bonjour.
Crody. I don't. I'm so in Canada. I know.
Only Canada I know is he's a fan. He's a fan. He's a fan.
What's the mountain cheese and farm? Like.
The whole stadium at the Super Bowl. Is there anyone else we need to pour out for besides that fella?
The mountain ?
Oberyn, for sure.
Yeah, ain't no coming back from that. I don't trust Pycelle to be able to put a skull back together. Mm-hmm. Just throwing it out there. Yeah. Which Pycelle got the motherfucking wrap it up button. Like, they told him, like, wrap it up.
Yes. And also to everybody in Molestown.
Yeah,
RIP to y'all.
They gone. Burn the bodies.
That will be smart. But we'll
Enjoy
see.
Enjoy his feelings.
Yeah. Pour one out for them. Big pour one out.
I don't think we need to pour. I mean, his feelings are still there. What we need to pour out for are his chances. Those are gone. Dead in the water.
What do you think his plan is, James? Because when he does ride off into the theoretical sunset,
I was thinking, like,
I got a plan here.
True. I mean, he does have a pardon, so he could go back. But I was thinking he would go to the wall. He may not know that his dad is dead yet and might just try to rekindle.
That's a long way.
I know, but he got nothing. He got nothing now. So unless he's just going to go walk out into the desert and let himself die.
You don't think so? Like, basically, you just don't think he's going to see Danny again?
No.
Okay. All right. TJ, anything to add?
Nah. Unless he like spins the block. He acts like he's leaving, goes down the street a little bit, and then, you know, next episode he goes in there in the dead of night and just murders Barristan for giving him up.
Maybe he just buys Danny some flowers and then goes back and pretends nothing happened. Like, you still mad? You still mad about that? That was yesterday. Anyway, Stigger with a pointy end. Who's first?
I actually got a few this time.
I only have three.
I probably only have three, too. But it doesn't matter. I can go first.
I want to go first.
Okay, you go first.
I don't have, like, two that I really want to do. So first is Ramsey Bolton in the spirit of the Super Bowl halftime show. Traditions are important. What are we without our history? Thank you, Kendrick. I really appreciated that. That was amazing. And Littlefinger, people die at their tables. They die in their beds. They die squatting over their chamber pots. Everybody dies sooner or later. That's it. I'm done.
All right. I'll go next. So my first one's from Ed. I'm pretty sure that's Ed. I hope I'm getting the motherfucker right. He says, whoever dies last, be a good lad and burn the rest of us. Once I'm done with this world, I don't want to come back. Next one is from Littlefinger. He says, better to gamble on the man you know than the strangers you don't. He be dropping us some gems. My next one's from Oberyn, where he says, size doesn't matter when you're flat on your back. Wrong.
Well, I mean, Tyrion said, Tyrion ended that with thank the gods.
And then again from Oberyn. Oberyn, you can't die yet. You haven't confessed. The man just like told his future.
I mean, he also said, today is not the day I die. Is it? Gingy?
Yeah. That was one of mine.
I'm sorry. Say it. Just say it. I'm sure you'll say it better than I did.
I'll still say it. All right, so my first one's from the Lord guy that was talking to Baelish in his interrogation. But I didn't need to hear from her, Moneylender, whoremonger. You've been licking Tywin Lannister's boot so long, it's a wonder your tongue's not black.
He.
And then this one is when Jaime and Tyrion were talking. Every day around the world, men, women, and children are murdered by the score. Who gives a dusty fuck about a bunch of beetles? Sometimes I feel like that in real life. People be complaining about the wrong things. And then, of course, Oberyn, today is not the day I die.
Not very prophetic, was he? Okay, Ginge. Blind rankings.
I'm putting it at five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. TJ, how you feel?
he's fucked this whole list up. Honestly, but it's fine.
I actually think this list is better out of all the seasons.
Do you?
But
really?
maybe not the list is better, but I feel like this season is better than other seasons because all the other seasons so far has been blah, 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 blah. Whoa, in a season. Where this one has been like blah, whoa, blah, whoa, blah. Like it's been yes. up and down, up and down.
Whereas everything else is not as chalk. It's not as
right. Is everything else has been just a gradual crescendo where this one has been up and down. Like this has been a roller coaster of emotions.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And it's a lot of setup. Like we get an episode where something happens and then we get like a setup episode and
right.
Boom. Yeah. Something happens.
So I feel like this format makes me enjoy it a little more.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
I just think you're going to look back on your rankings and just be like, damn. I kind of fucked this up.
I mean, unless episode 9 and 10 are like going to blow me out the water.
I think we'll get blown out the water at least by one of them.
I do love episode 9. I love like episode 9 is one of my favorite big episodes.
And then the way episode 10 ends, like that's going to blow you out the water.
Exciting stuff is coming. Yeah, you seem so excited. Love it. Well, say two for this episode of Charges to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. You can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, GOODE everywhere. And shout out to this whoever it is that's listening that does and who skeeted me today because we're recording now, and hello. Anyway.
Well, never mind. It doesn't matter. I was going to ask you when we're putting this out, but it doesn't matter because it's going to be out when they hear when we put it out. So.
But please don't forget to follow and rate and review us wherever you're listening. So on behalf of Jean Jambra and TJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.
Wee-wee.
Wee-wee.